KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at night. This is your host, Taylor Morgan. I am very pleased to be joined now for this segment by Congressman John Curtis, who is with us to talk about his challenge to the BLM rule and his work to defend lands for Utahns. Representative, thank you so much for joining us here on KSL at night. And tell us about your work here challenging this BLM rule that just came out that drastically changes the way public lands are managed here in the state. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, Taylor, thank you for this opportunity. It is a big deal. And as listeners probably know, Utah is made up of, I think, 67% federal lands. Much of my district, it's over 90%. So in short, this allows a large swath of Utah to be controlled by a government entity with zero accountability, meaning the BLM can issue these conservation areas. And there's no elected official involved in it. There's no process involved in it. It gives them the unilateral ability to do this. It's the equivalent of a president using the Antiquities Act, which is, you know, Utah knows has been used, you know, in some really difficult ways for us over the years, but by a government agency, not by the president.
Yeah, definitely. This is certainly something that is obviously key to the entire state, but particularly the district that you represent in Congress has such a high percentage of public lands, of BLM administered lands. Last year, I recall you introduced the West Act. Can you tell us a little bit about that and tie in some of the historical work that you have done for Utah's public lands to this current ruling?
Yeah, before I go to the West, I'm going to actually deal with that, the part of your question, because I think it's really critical that people realize when we push back in Utah, we're not pushing back against somehow we want to destroy these lands. We're not pushing back that we don't want to take care of them. The pushback is that we want to be in charge, right?
Yeah,
we think that those closest to the land know best how to preserve and take care of it. And by the way, we think we've done an amazing job over the decades.
Yeah.
So I do want to clarify that, because sometimes the rhetoric is, well, you just want to somehow, you know, destroy these lands. And just look at the, you know, the record and the history, and you'll see we've done an amazing job of preserving and protecting these lands. The West Act basically, it repeals this BLM rule and doesn't let them put it into place, which, as we just talked about, gives them this unilateral authority to declare these conservation areas. It would take that authority away from them. We've passed that bill through the House Natural Resources Committee. It'll go to the floor for a vote very quickly. I believe it'll pass the House. Then our challenge becomes getting it through the Democratic Senate. We may need to be a little patient on it until we can change, you know, the makeup of the Senate and the presidency, but we've got to move on this, and we can't just take this lying down.
Congressman, I want to stay on this point that you brought up, that, you know, our work, your fighting and Utahns' fight on public lands is not just about trying to extract minerals. It's not about, you know, just trying to extract resources or mining or those kinds of things. It really is about who has a say in managing the lands, the local stakeholders or bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. And this is a fight that has been going on, you know, for decades. And we know how valuable our public lands here in Utah are to our economy, not just for the many resources in the land, but also for the variety and access to outdoor recreation that makes our state and our economy really the best and strongest economy in the country. So it's a variety of uses. What is the political, I guess, state of play when it comes to public lands? Is it just state versus federal? Is it a Republican state versus a Democratic White House? Or how do we move beyond just this partisan fight over our lands?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really pleased. We have been able to put forward some really impressive legislation. I'll point out the Emery County Public Lands Bill that designated, I think it was about 1.3 million acres where we would recreate, where we would graze, where we would extract, and where we would protect. And nobody should be surprised that the vast majority of that, everybody agreed we wanted to protect. But we also made sure that there was room for grazing, for recreating, and for extraction in the appropriate places. And it's interesting you say, you know, how do we make this non-divisive? The reality of it is, even my Republican colleagues who don't live in the West have a hard time getting their arms around this. And they don't, you know, I'll hear my colleagues say, oh, I've got rural in my district. And I just laugh, right? Like, come on, you're in Connecticut.
Yeah, right.
Like rural, my standard of rural is you have to be able to drive 3 hours without seeing a structure. And then they'll say, oh, we have public lands. And they'll point to a park of 6 acres. Right. And it's hard even to get Republicans to understand. So we have a group, it's called the Western Caucus. And our mission is to help people outside of the West really understand what it's like to have 90% of your land held by the federal government. Imagine that. Doesn't pay property taxes, pays a very small amount in payment in lieu of taxes, but it doesn't pay property tax. And you don't have the ability to say how it's going to be used. So imagine when somebody who has never been there and lives 2,000 miles away tries to dictate to you what you can do and can't do on that land. Of course, there's pushback. Of course, people are frustrated with that. What would you expect?
Yeah, absolutely. And now, I have to step up on my personal soapbox here for just a moment, and we can have a chat. So one of the things that I am most frustrated about when, you know, the BLM or when the federal government, the White House, when they lock up public lands here in Utah, even if I fully support preserving and protecting that land for, say, outdoor recreation purposes, very seldom, if ever, do we see any resources coming from the federal government to maintain, protect, and provide access and information about these lands they lock up. And so I know we've had search and rescue and sheriffs from Wayne County, from Garfield County on KSL at night in past shows, and they're constantly worried about having the budget to go and rescue and save all these people who get lost in southeastern Utah because the federal government has put it on the map by protecting it. How do we get dollars from Congress to provide support for these lands?
So I'm so glad. This is a critical question. And I see the same thing in Emory County and these other counties whose budgets are very small, spending millions of dollars on search and rescue and maintaining and taking care of these lands. So the answer to your question is, when an Antiquities Act is used or when a rule like this BLM rule is used, it brings zero resources to the area. So if you look at Bears Ears, for example, where we've gone back and forth between the monument, the Presidential Antiquities Act designation has only highlighted this to the rest of the world, bringing people in, but brought no resources for signage, brought no resources for restrooms, brought no resources for search and rescue, brought no resources for preserving and protecting the antiquities that now people are you know, just running shot over because, you know, there's no signs or no education. When we put it through congressional legislation, we can bring resources. And this is why a huge reason why the Antiquities Act is a bad tool to preserve and protect. It should be done through congressional legislation because we can bring in the resources to take care of it. There's also something very important about congressional legislation. You're not going to get it through unless you have stakeholder consensus. That's not true with the Antiquities Act. You can have one president of one party roll this out with no consensus. But to get consensus with stakeholders means it's a lot of work, right? Yeah. You have to bring people in with different opinions. You have to bring ranchers in. You have to bring extraction. You have to bring environmentalists in and find consensus, which we did. And it can be done.
Absolutely.
But when people know that there's a shortcut, which is the Antiquities Act, they don't come into the table ready to talk. And this is a huge problem we have, is it takes all the motivation to work this out when you know, hey, we can just get a president to roll in with an Antiquities Act designation.
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman John Curtis, thank you so much for joining us here on KSL at Night. And thank you for all the work that you're doing on this very important issue. We wish you the best and look forward to having you back soon. Thank you.
Okay. Nice to you. Thanks.
Listeners, coming up next, we are going to have a conversation with the Deseret News' Brigham Tomko, who has covered Utah Governor Spencer Cox's Disagree Better on the TED Talk stage. After the break, stay with us.